Howdy everyone, welcome back to the Daring Poppy channel. Today is Monday the 5th of April and I was really happy with yesterday's podcast. I've decided to start a new season and so that would have been season 2, episode 1 yesterday, so we're up to episode 2 and just picking up where we left off. Really feel that working on this theme of models and simulations is going to really work, and it will also establish as a really sound timeline as a reference point, because a lot of the murky waters that we are navigating seem to have no boundaries, and I strongly feel that that's by design, that just through raising children through the last three decades of watching our education system change and watched how history has been watered down to the point that it's virtually non-existent as far as what our children learn at school, geography lessons, times tables, all those amazing tools that help us to really know where we stand tall and our place in the world and appreciate other people that share this planet with us and their indigenous cultures and traditions and heritage. So that's what's going to guide us back, I feel, is establishing some reference points to do with all of that. So I trust everyone's had a good look through the description box of yesterday's episode, and the gentleman Masert Duk, he had the posting to do with movies about the final warning, that these are the last messages before the event, and all of those movies that Masert put up were released in 2013. The Star Trek Into Darkness, Oblivion, Elysium, Olympus Has Fallen, and World War Z. So hopefully people have got a little bit of a feel for why I've felt the need to post those, because it really is a very doom gloom scenario for the Earth and Earthlings, and that's the predictive programming that concerns me, and this ultimate zombie mentality that is pervading. So what I'd just like to touch on before I move on is the other links I did put in. And this is really to do with our little people. There was a Hugo Lynx video I put up, this gentleman's English, and I've only just discovered him, and I love what he's covering. And that particular clip was Bill Gates barcode kids advert, hashtag lockdown. So that's from back on the 1st of March. And this is what they're proposing for children, is actually to be able to have barcodes and sort of navigate around the coronavirus lockdown with their little barcodes as their keying in and their keying out kind of mentality. So that's worth a look at. Mindful schools, that was a eye-opener from back in 2015. Just Breathe was the name of that clip by Julie Bayer and Josh Salzman, and that was really just an insight into, that's, you know, 6 years ago, how children were grappling back then with anger, little children at the primary level, and what they were being taught to do to deal with their torment, their mental torment, and being taught to just breathe. So if we add in what's happening now, I mean, they're all being masked and can't even breathe properly. So we've got another very malevolent form of oppression that's happening to do with breathing and being seen. It's the expression on children's faces that is what we should be reading. And now all we really get to do is look through some hazy, glazy eyes, and just it's just not good enough. So that felt really pertinent to post that. I recommended some shocking links. One is off Operation Underground Railroad, and there was a trailer there for Operation Toussaint trailer. That's a video that's now available on Amazon to do with trafficking, child trafficking. So Operation Underground Railroad, that's from back in 2018. Clearly they've been working behind the scenes, doing amazing work, and this is all about to surface for the whole world to really be made aware of. So I'm ever grateful to these people that are at the coalface of these rescue teams, and heaven knows what they encounter, and the rehabilitation that even these first responders are needing as they go in and rescue these children. It must be absolutely beyond imagination, but we need to be very grateful for the work that has been happening while the world carried on with, you know, nothing to see here, business as usual kind of attitudes. The other shocking link I put up was to do with Qatar and Doha, a Saudi Arabian country that has some very horrific practices going on there that involved some Australian victims that were pulled off a plane and went through an absolutely abhorrent search and an invasive search, and that's real, that this is back in 2020. So I think that's just showing how very disturbed a lot of the attitudes, the male attitudes are in the Middle East. And there was a lovely woman from Doha, I believe, I'm pretty sure she was from the capital of Qatar, and she got out of the country and is now living in England, and she gave a personal testimony as to what happens and the way that women are treated in that country. So that's well worth a look at. And the other one I put up was off the Higher Truth Rises channel, just a little wakey wakey call about earth, weather, space, weather. We are in a shooting gallery, like it or not, and it is phenomenal what's happening around us in our solar system at the moment. And that's just a little dip of our toe in the water to do with that. But in the meantime, we'll keep pressing on with this other topic. So the entertainment industry has a lot to answer for, and even though I bring up examples like Star Trek and movies, I'm not a movie buff at all, and I trust what comes across my table. I might just happen to catch something or see a trailer, and that's when I pick or choose whether I need to look at things. So it never fails to amaze me how things are very timely and they fit in perfectly with information that I need to gel together. So I personally don't enjoy movies because I just find that they've gone to a level of sensory overload, and the special effects and loud music, the dramatization and sensationalizing of just war, terror, just the whole gamut of an array of what's being funneled down that tunnel at us doesn't do it for me at all. But I'm conscious of how it affects us, and ultimately it is a form of desensitization. And what happened was, just sort of working with this timeline, I would say, just as a point of reference, that I am considered a baby boomer, because baby boomers were born between 1946 and 1964. And I have watched what's happened over that time. I believe that was the seeding of what I call the thinning of the blood, because I now really find myself sensing that blood is not thicker than water. And I felt that the tide really turned with the baby boomer generation. And I'm not one for hanging a tag on people or labelling. If we're going to really set some boundaries up and clarify with a little bit of distinction what's happened, we need to do that in this moment. And for the baby boomers, post-war, the woman became the target for these controllers. And I've talked about it before. We were coming out of a very traumatized legacy. And our previous generations were war-torn and very damaged souls. And I see that the entertainment industry moved in with soap operas targeting women, the housewife. That was what really became the target market, was how we spend our money, because they wanted to get the money circulating after the war. So obviously back then men were the ones that were out being the breadwinner. And they needed to get a handle on those women and steer them on how to spend that money. So soap operas and advertisements that came along with that was the predictive programming through television. And it was quite apparent, really, that we moved from BBC productions to more American, but England had its Coronation Street soap opera and EastEnders. It seemed like they always teed them up. There was a bit of a duelling that went on between a couple of soap operas at least, and America had The Days of Our Lives and The Young and Restless. New Zealand went on to have Close to Home and Shortland Street. Australia had Neighbours and what was their other one? I can't remember it off the top of my head. It'll come back to me. But essentially, what this did was, I'll never forget the influences that The Young and Restless and The Days of Our Lives had when I kind of observed as a child. It was modelled around being married to a professional, glamorising what we should really aspire to, and that to me was leading up to that the controllers knew that they were going to start universities one day, and that we'd, really want to have our children as highly educated as possible and get them into those universities. Well, So the professionals were what were really pushed as these ideologies of success in life, being married to a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, and then psychiatrists woven there, and you know, lying there on the couch, the psychiatrist's couch, and getting a little bit of pseudo counselling. But the thing that impressed upon me was these women in these soap operas, whenever they struck a problem, they'd run to the bathroom and open that medicine cabinet and grab a little container of pills, and they'd tip out some pills and wash those down with a bit of alcohol or something like that, and sort of glamorizing this pharmaceutical pill popping. I don't know, it was just kind of a world of that became a reality, I guess. And I know Valium took hold in this country for a lot of housewives back through the 60s and 70s. So that's just sort of what I see as was the build up to steering us into this kind of false reality of dependency and being entertained, and what became the new normal. So just moving on from that, when I became a mother, I have talked about that I just gravitated towards wanting to be as natural a mother as possible. So I struck a wall when I made health choices that were aligned with being natural, like choosing to home birth and not vaccinate my children and use homeopathic medicine, wheeling towards a Steiner education and a little bit of homeschooling. So from 1990, when our eldest son was born, to 2000, I'd begun gathering information about what was concerning me. So that was like becoming a bit of a record keeper, because I needed to reassure myself that I needed supporting information, I needed to be educated, and certainly wasn't going to get that from mainstream. So I started to lean on alternative resources. Back then, the New Zealand Listener, I've talked about, that was a reliable source of information, but that changed around the probably 2005 mark or so. But in 1999, New Zealand opened up a children's dedicated hospital in Auckland called the Starship Children's Hospital. Now, I've mentioned it had a Ronald McDonald fast food chain underneath as the sort of the flagship there under the Starship. The double arches. It didn't last long. It actually did end up being closed. But just sort of getting a little bit of a feel for the timeline for being a mother and observing, I was very alarmed at, why did we need a dedicated children's hospital in this country? Well, the controllers knew what was coming, because vaccination was really amping up, and that's really what I saw as a concern. It led on to early childhood illnesses that normally only adults got. I've talked about that in the past, like arthritis, leukemia, and just cancer, tumours, autoimmune diseases, etc. So by the year 2003, the advertising agencies, they were really targeting a new target market for our little girls, particularly the tweenage market and the 8 to 12 year olds. And that was when I saw a real sexualization of our little people start to creep in. And then it was like the gaming with the boys, with the digital technology. But also around 2000, I've got to remember that from in 1999, the big Y2K scare came, that we'd become digitized in that last sort of period of the 20th century. And we were really, I think it was our real first taste after the war of fear, and being vulnerable that these computers weren't going to click over and the world might have crashed in some way. And none, it all came and went and nothing really happened. But I truly sense now, looking back, that it was a seeding of vulnerability and dependency on a digitized age. And ultimately it's artificial intelligence which is running the planet. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, because it's really the major thing that's hijacked this planet is abusive technology. Not technology is great and it has its place, but when it's being worshipped as it is today with everyone with their iPhones, we know we've got a problem. So we back before we left Auckland, a really wonderful thing happened that helped me greatly was a lovely neighbour of mine, Jan, back at where we lived in the Waitakere's. She gave me an amazing book, and it's an encyclopedia, and she lent a copy to me and I ended up acquiring my own because it was a keeper. And it's called The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara Walker. And that became a Bible for me. And what it did was it really geared me up with becoming really seasoned at deciphering signs and symbols and understanding the secret codes of the universe that really do run the universe. And this is all based on sacred geometry and mystery teachings. So unbeknown at the time, what rolled on from that sort of 2003 timeline, I began to see that that's what was actually running the world, but it was reverse engineered. There was those signs and symbols, the logos were ruling the world, but in a malevolent way where they had everyone worshipping everything from the badge on your car. People want that Mercedes, they want the BMWs, all those European, every country's got their own leaning towards what they hold as a status symbol to do with a vehicle, clothing, everything. It all came down to labels and signs and symbols. So that, before we relocated to the Coromandel region, really gave me a good stead about being able to read what was really happening in the world. So when we left Auckland, the next major thing that happened was in 2008, there was a major stock market crash, global. And that was a very telling sign that what was an illusion was actually proven to be that way. But remarkably, there wasn't a lot of pushback, and that showed that people actually wanted more. They didn't want it to go. There was a rebuild out of the ashes, and it was less secure than ever before, but it's brought us to where we are now, so which is an even more extremely volatile situation financially as far as our globe goes. But it was a big takeaway to, I'm just trying to really get some reference points here that we should have been doing our homework a lot sooner than now. And that's like the higher you fall, sorry, the higher you climb, the harder you fall. So we've got a very, very hard fall coming for the whole planet shortly to do with this usury. So by 2010, our family exited the mortgage trap. We no longer were part of that whole owning property. I personally have got no regrets for that. It got the monkey off our back and allowed us to free up and be a little bit more able to move around and just be more objective, as I like to say, and get real about what's real in life. So since then, we've had amazing turns of events. Now, I don't want to skip over what did happen in 2001 because that's really relevant in that decade, the 9/11 event. That was a distraction. It was also a test, and the tests haven't stopped coming. That was a massive game changer to do with introducing surveillance, control, and actually data collection. Because believe it or not, data collection is the most valued commodity by those that are running the show. They need our data. They need an algorithm on us, and then they know how to read us and control us and tempt us and manipulate us ultimately. So since that whole Y2K rollover into 2001, we start to build a little bit of a reference point about timelines and, world in like end game scenarios. Now, I'm just going to pause there because I'm up to 28 minutes and I'll do a tack on just to round this off. It might end up being a bit of a long one, but that just needs to be at the moment, folks. So I'll be back with you shortly. Bear with me. All righty, I'm back with you. Thanks for your patience. So, this whole 9/11 attack was just a real fresh injection of trauma and, under the guise of a new label, war on terror, domestic terrorism, another layer of confusion, painting new enemies into the picture, and really amping up the divide and conquer amongst the nation's people, the whole conspiracy theory amped up, and yeah, just a whole nother muddying of the waters, if you like. So we'd been building out of trauma all these decades, and this was really just taking us right back into enemy territory. And as I see it, it became a war coming at us from all angles. Because what we're really seeing is that the way we'd been guided into these new recreational pastimes, which were entertainment, that was a new version of warfare. Children gaming in on devices was warfare, and it was just a saturation of modern terror, if you like. So in alignment with that, I'm just going to move back to the entertainment industry. When the Game of Thrones came along and I heard everyone talking about this new miniseries, that was in 2011. I should probably actually just mention in sort of 2005 and 2008, a little bit of vampirism was injected into the equation, which was a bit new on the scene, and it never went away. And that was with the series, the books, Twilight Saga. And that caught on like wildfire. So, and with it, a series of movies of that whole tone crept in as well. And then we had the Game of Thrones appear. And I needed to have a look. I was open-minded. I thought, wow, this might be something that's going to be historical and help people discover a little bit more about the past. But sadly, it was just an affirmation of more of the wash-repeat cycle of abuse of women and children particularly, and bloodthirst and conquer and trading of family members to extend your empire, rampant incest, and just, more total debauchery really. But the shock for me was that people were thirsting for it. And so we got 8 seasons of that from 2011 till 2019. Why that bothered me was, here in New Zealand, we've got one of the worst domestic abuse reputations in the world. And sadly, 120 odd years ago, when our suffragettes rose up, they weren't doing that because they had nothing better to do. The whole premise of what the suffragettes needed to unite over was to bring laws into place to actually help men have some temperance to do with all of these issues that we see in the Game of Thrones. And that's to do with some temperance around alcohol consumption, some legislation to do with criminalization, to do with interfering with young children, and particularly incest. So I've grown only but sadder over the years to know that children have become less protected than they were back in those days. And that's to do with the normalizing of this sexual appetite of adults. And the home front is less protected than it's ever been. I'm not aware that they had suicides happening back in those days to the degree that we've got now. So I hope I'm painting a clear picture for people about how much worse it is these days. Women have joined the ranks of men as far as abusers of children on the sexual front in modern times. And I know that a lot of women beat up men now too, and that men are victims of violent, vicious woman. And the whole picture just gets grimmer and grimmer. So children also have a new threat, which is the fact that people pay money now to have sexual pleasures with children. And we've got an internet that's come into play, some artificial intelligence that can share it with the world, and you can make money uploading things onto Pornhub. And there's some great people in this country that are bringing that to light. And so we'll move along, but I really tried to understand what happened with women. Why did we not keep carrying that torch? Why have we not honoured the hard work of Kate Shepherd and those amazing women who earned us through blood, sweat and toil to be the first country in the world to give women the vote to protect the home front? And yet I'll liken it to what happened with the baby boomer era. Women began to not honour the home front. They began to honour materialism and status symbols and instant gratification and being at the mercy of the medical establishment, allowing, not taking opportunities that our foremothers never had, like becoming aware and informed because we had information at our fingertips, we had time like they never had on offer, we had labour-saving devices like they never had on offer, and we had a much easier life. Finally, things could have become easier. So you have to ask yourself that question. The tide did turn at some point, and we need to identify it and own it, because that's what's got us onto the slippery slope we're on now. So to my way of thinking, the baby boomers were targeted. I, for one minute, I'm not so silly to think that the controllers of this planet knew that they needed to keep a close eye on this country, because the women here have tenacity and we're stoic, hardworking, pioneering women. And they needed to pull all the tricks out of their playbook that they could to tempt us. But like everything, to be tempted's one thing, but to buy into it's another. And, you know, we have the word tempt in to do with temperance, and that's strength of character to actually not be weak, make a good choice. And the temptation that was offered was this idealistic kind of American dream, I guess, this culture that was used to infect us down here and set up these amazing ideals about the way life could be. And you know, it came at a high price, people. So, yeah, I'm just going to call it that. I believe it was the baby boomers that actually threw the baby out with the bathwater. So we're finding that blood is not thicker than water now. And maybe that, you know, that's when the blood thinning began, was the trade-off with human welfare over materialism and getting women out into the workforce. That was a choice. Having double incomes, having two of everything, two cars, two houses. So that's my two penneth worth on that topic. I'm all for getting mothers back in the home and actually really rewarding them for being there and just educating and empowering women to know that it's an amazing opportunity and there are great rewards at the end. And this intergenerational wisdom needs to be reinstilled. We need to get respect and honour back at the hearth where we can lead in a worthy way and therefore instill really, really great worth in our children. Self-worth, not based on a price tag, but on the power of love. I mean, it's worth mentioning that coming out of World War II, I mean, the word I love you, the words I love you weren't spoken for generations. We've had to dig really deep to even get that back on the table, the word love. So that just shows how far we'd come. And we've got a lot back, but we've got to work on getting some really important key issues back as well. So this is our working model that we're aiming for, and I just hope everyone will be encouraged. It's going to take a little bit of humility to float this boat and a few apologies, and that's really healing when we can actually apologize and ask for forgiveness and say thank you and I love you. So let that just round that sort of aspect of today's podcast off, because it's about being deep and meaningful and not sweeping things under the rug and really owning what part we've all played in this equation. So what I'd like to do is just shimmy back a minute to what was brought up, and this is about coming back to how the artificial intelligence has played its role in this love over fear and fear over love, because John Lem Nash got really excited when the Nag Hammadi was discovered, for the reason that it was the only mystery teachings that he, as a scholar, had ever read that actually included in the teachings that there'd been an off-planet interference in the spiritual evolution of this planet, and that it was a spiritual war that was being waged from afar and by an intelligence that actually can't come and live here, but they manipulate and interfere through simulation and technology. That's how they make their mark known on the planet. And when they get us living our lives through a computer simulation and a worshipping of technology and not actually living a life to our full perception and sentient ability, they love it. And when they can actually get us warring as well, that's even better, because that creates fear and bloodshed, and that creates an energy amongst the humans called loosh. Fear is the name given by these entities to human fear. L-O-O-S-H. So hard to believe as that might be, it's not hard when you think, well, that's what Hollywood's been showing us for years now, except fact is about to be proven stranger than fiction, because that was the trickery, to think it was only science fiction when it was actually real. And it's been very subtle, it's been insidious over a long period of time, but real all the same. And we need to start factoring a little bit more of these home truths in. And this is why part of their manipulation of the controllers, which they call the useful idiots, was watering down our education system, watering down our awareness of history, intergenerational sort of breakdown of respect and honour, and ultimately awareness. So we have a breakdown and a crisis, and then we fall apart. So we're about getting things back together. That's going to take these acknowledgements to do with timelines and awareness of the past, and really joining some historical facts together and getting the timelines working for us. And what I'd like to point out, just rounding off today really, is that I feel we're going to need to go back 12,000 years if we're going to just be able to wrap our head around to get some a decent starting place. We can go back way further, but 12,000 years is manageable. It's not manageable for a lot of people, because we've got to realise that there's a creationist theory that's been taught by the church fathers, and that creation is only 6,000 years old. So we've got a roadblock there straight away, and we know why, because they've got handlers that have set that roadblock in place. But that's because we can keep regurgitating this wash repeat cycle of abuse and patriarchal governance that abuses women and children and uses sexual energy and conquering as the modus operandi. So if we're going to go back 12,000 years, we'll need to encompass the Egyptians, and that would encompass a golden age on this planet and a time of very high intelligence, of mathematical genius, astrological, and just wisdom and technology too, that surpasses anything that we know of today. So that's going to be a topic for another day, but that will need to be included in this timeline if we're going to really get the show on the road. Now, just in between time, just to sort of round off today, back in episode 37, I recorded the Hero's Journey. And in that podcast, there's links in the description box. Now, this is with David Wilcock interviewing Graham Hancock, who is they're both great scholars in their own right. And David's interviewing Graham to do with setting history free. It's a 2010 interview, and it's amazing. Also, there are links to David's Divine Cosmos website, and there's an absolute raft of incredible work there to look into, covering three of the books that David has written: The Source Field Investigation, The Synchronicity Key, and Ascension Mysteries. David also covers there in the description box of LinkedIn his amazing work that he's put together to do with financial tyranny, defeating the greatest cover-up of all time, which is to do with the usury system that's been running on the planet and leading us all astray. So no time to waste, plenty of homework to do, and lots of setting history free and pulling all in the same direction in our own sweet way and at our own pace, but knowing that we're all pulling in the same direction will be a great start. So now, do remember, folks, that this is a lot of the reason that this war on terror that was self-imposed by the agencies of America, the military industrial complex, in combination with the Vatican and Rome and the Crown of England, London Square Mile, that was all about waging war and getting in and smashing up the Middle East, because that's where the evidence was, the archaeological evidence, the artifacts. It wasn't so much about oil and resources and opium and the like. It was actually about destroying the evidence of history and breaking the spirit of the nation's people. So that's very important to remember in this latest version of terror that's pervaded the planet. I look forward to the day that the rebuild starts and all these refugees and misplaced people around the world can return to their homelands and really revive their traditions and just start reunifying with their heritage and reconnecting with their homelands. So, amen to that. So, just in closing, I'll run through the links that I'm posting for today. I've chosen a music link from the late David Bowie. David Bowie produced a song called Black Star in November 2015, and he was actually he passed away 2 months later. There's a lot of speculation that he was actually taken out because that movie Black Star revealed way too much. He certainly was a man ahead of his time all his life. It's disturbing because it's sort of aligned with what's happening on the planet right now to do with this whole zombie mentality. But anyway, that's there for people to go and have a look at and brace yourselves, because it is quite an unnerving video, but very pertinent at this moment in time to try and have a bit of an understanding about where the man was coming from and perhaps what he knew was coming. Recommended links, Rebel News. This is from Ari Yemeni in Melbourne. He is a journalist that represents Rebel News of Canada. He has just recently, back on the 29th of March, been to visit the Extinction Rebellion movement, and the clip's called This Is How You Expose the Biggest Climate Hypocrites on the Planet. It's very worth engaging in to get a bit of a take on the hypocrisy that's rampant out there at the moment. Bloomberg Quick Take, back on April 2015, is an interview with the author of Clinton Cash, a gentleman called Peter Schweizer, and he's presenting the evidence against the Clintons as troubling. I'm not sure if the movie is still out there or the documentary, but anyway, this is enough to give you a little bit of a feel for what angle he was coming at this with to reveal what the Clintons have been up to. Also, in alignment with that, CBS News, there's a clip that was just pre-election 2016, and it's headed Trump Roasts Clinton at an Al Smith charity dinner. That is epic. One News, a full interview with between Hilary Barry meets Hillary Clinton to talk to Jacinda in New Zealand back on May 2018. That was obviously a couple of years after the Hillary's failed candidacy for the President of America. She wrote a book, What Went Wrong, and came here to promote it. We've got decryptedmatrix.com, which is revealing, this is from back in August 2020, the ship Evergreen, Hillary Clinton's code word in the Secret Service and her connection to Haiti and trafficking and child trafficking and more. And that's very pertinent because the Evergreen is the, actually the Ever Giver is the name of the ship that's blocking the Suez Canal right now. And this is the ship that has been used to traffic children and other unfortunate human beings around the planet. And that's just absolutely going to be world news shortly, so get ready for that. And the last little clip I'll put up is, it's just some reading material off TFP Student Action, 21 quotes by Margaret Sanger that will probably make you sick, and that's from back on the 20th of November 2017. Margaret Sanger was one of the pioneers in America to do with, she was in the eugenics. She would have moved in shock with Bill Gates's father, all linked in with Planned Parenthood and planned abortions, and basically just more sick information, but information we're going to need to deal with if we're going to set the record straight. So that's a little introduction to another female that's been on the planet that was very looked up to and held in high regard by the feminist movement. So brace yourselves for that. Okay, well, lovely to round this off. Goodness gracious me, it's been another 30 minutes, but I'm sure everyone will enjoy it, and you can just break it up as you see fit into little bite-sized pieces. And as always, it's an honour to share, and where we go one, we go all. And I'll look forward to being back with you when the time's right. This is a tall poppy chiming off for now.